Thanks, Kath. Today's Bible reading comes from John's Gospel, and reading from chapter 21. And we don't probably look at this passage very often, and it's a bit of a story about two of Jesus' disciples. One is called Simon Peter, but really we know him more as Peter. And the other one, we believe, is John, who's written this, so he sort of talks about himself as the other disciple. So let me read from John 21 and verse 15. When they'd finished breakfast, and this is Jesus's coming to the disciples after he's risen from the dead. He died on Good Friday, was in the grave on Saturday, Sunday morning, early hours of the morning, somewhere, the Father raised him from the grave, and then he made his appearances. This is one of his appearances to the disciples, and they'd had some fish for breakfast. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After he'd said this to him, and this is to Peter, he said to him this one more time, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was already following along, and this is, we think, and understand John. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper, the last time they had the Lord's Supper together, and had said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what's that to do with you? Follow me." So the rumour spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but he said, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" When I went to a funeral a number of years ago, I listened as the minister was talking and they were saying goodbye to someone. And he used these words from Psalm 31, verse 15, the first little bit. He used these words, "My times are in your hand." My times, and I'd never ever thought about that verse until then. But our times, your times, my times, are in God's hands. And he has a personal walk for each one of us. Kath's had us drawing our feet and thinking about, you know, where we walk. One of the ways we walk is we walk with the Lord. And he has a different place for every one of us to go, different things to do. And so he treats us differently. He loves you absolutely, fully, totally. And he loves me, he loves us in a complete, full way. But he treats us differently according to the way he knows us and knows how we'll respond. On Mother's Day, it's probably a good day to remember this sort of thing, because I reckon most mums try and figure out how to love all their children equally, but some children need more attention than others. Can we put it that way? And some need less attention. And today, as we're looking at Peter, we're thinking about a person, a son, who just seems to need a lot of attention. And then there's John, who was very close to Jesus. He was such a close friend with Jesus that even when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said to his own mum, he said, "Mum, here's John. And John, here's your mum. You look after her." And so from that day on, they were very close. But Peter's a bit different. He's a leader. He always wants to lead the way, and he promises that he'll be absolutely loyal. Three times he said to Jesus, he promised him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "No, three times you will actually deny me." Peter must have thought, I wouldn't do that. But Jesus said afterwards, "I want you to strengthen people." So, and that's exactly what happened. People came as Jesus was being arrested and saw Peter and said, "You're with him." He said, "No, I don't know who he is. Never, that's not me." Three times he just denied his friendship with Jesus. So the story we have here today is the way Jesus is being extremely kind to Peter. Peter must have been bitterly disappointed in himself. Sometimes you and I are bitterly disappointed at our failures. We think we can do well, and then when we fail, we feel very bad about ourselves and our lives and so on. So Jesus comes to Peter and he asks him, for each time that he's failed, he's trying to draw out from Peter, "Do you love me?" And I'm thinking by now Peter doesn't want to promise. He doesn't really want to brag anymore. He knows he's failed, but Jesus still loves him, and three times he wants him to be strengthened. So he asks him, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because he wants him to do something. He wants to be friends and he wants him to be reliable and a leader. But he has to forgive and bring that peace back into Peter's life. You may have failed in your own life, but God continually wants to bring his peace through Jesus Christ and strengthen you to be at peace by his grace, his forgiveness and his love, so that you can then live the life that Jesus wants you to live. And it's very interesting that right at the finish of all this, and he's told Peter, they believe that Peter was crucified like Jesus, but upside down on a cross. That's how the legend goes. Whether it's right or not, we're not entirely sure. But he had a strange death, as many of the disciples did. But Jesus told him that that was going to happen, and then he said to him, "Follow me." So as he takes a few steps and he's following Jesus, he turns and he sees the disciple whom Jesus loves, whom he's very close to. And he's already following along. Jesus hasn't even said to him, "Follow me." It says there, the disciple whom Jesus loved followed them. And he was the one who'd reclined next to Jesus. He'd Someone said it was in the Father's breast. He was in his own heart. Jesus was there in his Father's heart. And in a similar way, John was that close to Jesus as well. And so he looks at John and he's heard about his life. It's going to be a life of some suffering. And so he says, Lord, and he remembered that it was through John he'd asked who was going to betray Jesus. So he says, Lord, what about him? I don't know if you're a brother or a sister to someone in a family, whether you've got a sibling relationships, but probably all of us at some stage or another have complained to Mum, it's not fair. Okay? He gets that treatment, and then this question, what about him? Well, Jesus' reply to Peter isn't, well, I'll give you both the same kind of life. He says to him, in a way that's a little bit sharp, he says to him, well, if it's my will that he stays here until I come, what's that got to do with you, Peter? You've lost concentration already. You're already distracted by looking sideways at your brother, another disciple. Just look at me and follow me and listen to me. That's what Jesus is wanting us to do, and not be distracted. So he said to him again, what's that got to you? And he repeated it one more time, follow me. Well, interestingly, I think a lot of us need the Lord to be speaking to us regularly, because we're a bit like Peter. We're inclined to wander off track. Even later in Peter's life, the Apostle Paul had to tell Peter off. Even later in Peter's life, he kept doing a few things that wandered away. But you know, the great thing he knew was that Jesus had already told him that he loved him. He'd already affirmed his good relationship, and he just needed to keep speaking to him and listening. Some people seem to manage their Christian life. They generally get the gist of it and away they go. But other people need, a bit like some children do, lots of kind of correcting to get on the track. God's word is not always correcting. Sometimes it's just guiding us, telling us to change direction. Go this way. Go that way. Keep following me. And that's one of the keys of the Christian life, is to learn to listen to Jesus as he keeps directing us in life. What I noticed in this story was that Jesus' personal guidance to Peter is exactly the sort of thing that we get quite often in worship. That's why we like to meet together even when we can't, because it's often on the Sunday message or during our midweek studies when we get together that we hear the Lord guiding us, directing us again. Adam and Eve in the garden, in the cool of the evening breeze, it says, that's when they used to walk with the Lord, have a talk about things, redirect their lives. And quite often, a lot of people are walking again. It's a very good time for the Lord to redirect your path. Go and have a walk with the Lord, listen to him, and let him direct you. And his direction for your life will be different from that person there and that person there. But the key is to keep following and listening to his word. Maybe you're like Peter and need lots of correction. I was probably am a bit more like Peter. Some others are calmer and just regularly follow. Whichever is the way that you go about being who you are, stay with that, but keep listening for God's word. Keep listening. The risen Christ is interested in you, and he has a personal will for your life. And the lesson I guess I took from it is, I wrote this down to myself, Stop being so busy about other people's matters that you'll neglect your own soul and your own focus and your own duty. John also wrote this. He understood it in one of his letters. He said, His commandments are not burdensome, so just keep doing what the Lord. It's not a heavy thing that Jesus is giving your life. Just keep following and listening to what he wants you to do. His word will keep you free indeed, and you can freely go. As someone once said, love God and do what you like. Because if you love God, you'll do what he likes. And that's how it goes. Lord, what about him? Well, no sideways glances today. Let's just look and listen and follow what the Lord is saying to each one of us. I want to finish with a little verse from one of the letters, and this is how you might say, well, how do I follow the Lord? Well, listen to one of the things he says. This is it. In his word, through the apostles, he says, listen, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, meaning let it have some flavour in your conversation, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Sometimes we simply need to listen to some of the things like that that the Lord directs us to do, and to keep doing that and following in that way, it'll change the course of our lives. May God add his blessing to the word today, and may you remember, we began the service with that little verse. Jesus said, we had, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But I just want you to go away and remember those few verses. I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. If you've got a problem, Jesus says, I am the way. You're unsure about what you should do from here, just go and talk to Jesus about it. He says, I am the way. In other words, to solve some of your dilemmas, you do need to keep talking to the Lord. He has a certain way that he wants you to go. And he is that way. Being in friendship with him will open up that way. I know many people over their lives who've just lost their way. They've tried all sorts of things, tried all sorts of systems, had all sorts of ideas of how they should live, but they've not come back to this one essential truth. I am the way. And if it includes some suffering, just keep going. The Lord will see you through. Peter encouraged people to endure their suffering, not to be surprised at that happening, and so on and so on. We've had many other ways presented to us, and we've felt, you know, all the things we've lost during this particular period in our history. You might think the AFL is the way. You might think that your sporting life is the way. You might think the things you believe and so on is the way. But Jesus is focusing us, I'm sure, on knowing that he is the way. And that is what we would encourage you to do today. May I just lead us in a very short prayer, and then we'll have communion together. Let us pray. Dear Lord, of all our ways, thank you that just as our mums understood us very well, even more so, you know us deep down. Please speak firmly to us as you did to Peter. And Lord, please guide us graciously as well as you did to both Peter and John. Lord, help us that we might put away the things that distract us, our attention from you, and concentrate upon your goodwill for our lives. Help us to walk in your good way, and to testify to your love, knowing that this is the thing that has secured us. This is the thing that's made our lives solid. This is the thing that keeps giving us hope. And Lord, we believe that one day when we see you face to face, you will not be condemning us, but your grace will cover all of our lives and your word to us will be, well done. So thank you that you continue to forgive us, strengthen us through that forgiveness to come back and back to do what you want us to do and follow you. Lord, hear our prayer. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.